Hello, I'm Lorcan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute of Ireland, and you're very welcome to our podcast series, Data Leaders. In these podcasts, I chat with some of the most important and influential people in the data analytics area in Ireland, and I try to find out a little bit about the people and personalities behind the careers. I also want to explore their philosophy in relation to data and analytics in general, and also find out a little bit about where they think the industry is going in the future. I hope you enjoy this series of interviews, and if you do, please subscribe below. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to our Data Leaders in Conversation podcast. Today, I'm joined by Ciarán Towey. Ciarán is Head of Applied Intelligence with KPMG Ireland. Ciarán, you've been about a year, just over a year now with KPMG, and I've noticed that you've really started to grow your division quite rapidly. Why have KPMG decided to come into the data analytics field and the applied intelligence field? And what are you trying to do with KPMG that isn't already being done elsewhere?
Hi, Lorcan, and thanks for that. So I suppose I should preface the answer by stating a little bit about my background. I've had 9 years previously as a global advanced analytics lead for Accenture. So I've been all over the world running a massive team of over about 150 data scientists distributed all over, working with clients both in countries and sort of multinational and regional powers. And before that, I actually worked with SPSS as part of building up their professional services practices. So this is back in the days when there were only two monoliths, SPSS and SAS. So all the world has changed a lot since then. So I suppose when I trace back my history and how I've seen the world evolve, and essentially data and analytics take up a central place in at C-suite in business. I'm certain there isn't a company out there that doesn't have data or analytics as part of their strategy for the next 1, 3, 5 years. It's absolutely central. So I think what attracted me to KPMG was that I had come across KPMG many times in the past. And the one thing that was always interesting to me is they really seem to have the ear at the C-level and board level. Right? They're very strong from an advisory perspective and had less, I suppose, fingers in the pie from an implementation perspective. So really excellent on strategy and direction. And I think probably KPMG more globally recognized and locally that there's a necessity then to actually help clients make that journey. It's not just saying here are the signposts or here's the map to get you there. Right? How do you actually bring a capability together that has experience in tackling these kind of problems, using these kind of emerging technologies, doing all the funky stuff around analytics and AI, but fundamentally to help solve business issues. And I think when I look at the kind of people that I've employed, one of the things that's consistent with them is they really love to solve problems in whatever industry it is. So I think that also attracted me to KPMG is because they're probably a little bit earlier on in the journey. There's a chance to shape and fashion and build a team as I saw fit for purpose, that I could actually use my experience from working in previous 20 something years in this space to actually put together a specialist team that I thought would solve more of the end-to-end problems for a client. So I think broadly speaking, there are three main areas that our clients would struggle with. One is strategy. And what should our strategy be? And how do we go about implementing it? And the second bit then is that obvious implementation of the strategy. And then the third pillar is really around innovation, because there's so much innovation almost happening in the world that everyone can see, whether it's technology or analytics or artificial intelligence. And when you take all those three things together, KPMG were looking to say, okay, if we can bring all of that together, that is going to get us an end-to-end solution. We can not only just advise, but we can design and deliver and also stay ahead of the game. To go with that, I got a lot of support. You'll say, look, you've got the experience. You've seen what happens out there. Build the team as you see fit that's going to help us deliver on that promise to the clients. So I think that was my key attraction. And we have over 50 people in Dublin, and there's been an announcement of 200 people to be recruited in a centre of excellence in Belfast, of which 70 will fall under my remit. Right, so rapidly growing team in the space just over a year.
Quite challenging to grow a team over the last year, in particular, given COVID and restrictions. So what's the challenge like in trying to manage, first of all, bring in these people and embed them in the KPMG culture and get them productive in when you can't bring them into an office and they haven't met their colleagues or whatever? So how's that working out, Kieran? How do you approach it, and how's it been?
So I think if you start at the start of that process, all the interviews are online now. So it is kind of unusual. You don't get that first handshake and sort of just get a sense for person in a physical room. What I focus a lot on is probably less on the technical skills. I'm not going to assume some of my senior managers and associate directors and others will have done that sort of almost a technical interview, but really almost focus on how this person will play inside a team dynamic. Because I know, and everybody else knows, there can be a tendency to be isolated because we're working in our bedrooms, kitchens, offices, wherever it may be. So it's to try and almost trying to identify the people that I think will be gregarious and a little bit more outgoing, even though that's not necessarily the way most analytics people are. But then we're trying hard to make sure that we have a lot of connections with the new people that come in. So we have weekly calls, we're instituting, peer-to-peer learning. We try and have fun elements to the week, much more checking in to see how people are. And I think it forces more of the leaders in the organization to actually make more personal contact with the team.
There's no, you can't hide in an office and sort of be the strategic boss without kind of meeting the rest of the team and engaging. It's a great leveler, isn't it, being online like this.
100%, yeah.
You don't have the trappings of the big marble offices or the corner offices with the glass or whatever. It's all just everybody's the same to a certain
yeah. And you're probably maybe more judged on your contribution then, right? Because if you're having an online call, I'm sure we've all been in meetings where there's 10 or 15 people. It's probably 5 or 10 who don't say very much in that whole meeting. I think it becomes more obvious then on an online call, who's actually speaking, because you really only can have one person speaking at a time. When you're in large boardrooms, there can be mini conversations going on all the time. So it is totally different.
More meritocracy, I can see that as well. And also you're judged less on perception and more on the reality of what you're delivering.
Contribution, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. There's no politics online as such. That is really interesting. Kieran, tell me a little bit about, so you're growing your team. So what are the challenges and issues that you're actually working with companies? And like you've described it quite well with strategy, with implementation and with innovation. And I get that. But in reality, we say on the ground, what problems are you actually solving for your customers? What are they looking for from analytics and AI?
So I know it's a little bit of a cop-out to say many and varied, right? But if I was to say one theme that maybe I was a little bit surprised at as being how central it is now, and that is around data quality and data management. Right? When I say I'm surprised, it's because it's, anyone who's ever worked on data, it's been a perennial theme since, I suppose, since the first we started recording data. You know, there may be questions over quality, but quality leads to questions of trust. And what I think I see now is there's been a fundamental change in organizations' approach to data. So many of them now are saying, you know what, pause for a second. We need to, before we start go charging down on really looking at analytics or AI or any of this use of data, surely we have to call into question the value of our data, particularly whether we trust it or not. And many leaders in organizations kind of go, will say anecdotally, well, you know, I have varying degrees of confidence or trust in my data. So there's actually, I'm finding a lot of requests now for that data strategy as a foundation to build on, right? Because, you know, everyone in Ireland, you know, almost all major companies will be doing analytics somewhere, however they classify analytics. It may be a lot of visualization, reporting, and dashboards. It may be some predictive models, many of which, you know, I call into question now in the middle of COVID. But, you know, they have been using it to a greater or lesser extent. But I think now the fundamental is we know we need to get our data in better condition to make better use of the analytics, the AIs and the technologies of the near future. And so I'm seeing that across utilities, across financial services, across public service in particular. I don't think we need to know very much of what's the goings on within Department of Health or HSE to know that they're rapidly integrating sources of data together. We, you know, yeah. You can see that almost by just listening to the news and radio. But there's examples where we're having to crash data together to be able to make informed decisions. And that always and ever always has thrown up issues with data quality and data management that need to be solved. And I think we're almost gone back two steps, so we can start to accelerate out from the traps.
Yeah. So we're still at that stage, really, are securing the data, getting it, trusting that data, and then being able to use that data as an asset. So we're still there in the main, are we?
You know, the way I put it was, it's been a perennial problem. I think it's now very much more central. Now it's now being tackled more at an enterprise level, whereas previously it may have been tackled at a business unit or use case specific, you know, solve it for this problem. But, you know, if you're going to make the great leaps forward, you're going to need to make sure that your foundation is firm. So yeah. I think I'm certainly seeing a lot of that. That's not to say that there isn't some very cutting edge work being done with computer vision. I've done some work actually taking in scans of handwritten notes, transcribing the handwritten notes into digital text, and then using NLP on that digital text to extract the key content and information, and then populating that into dashboards for support decisions. And so there is some very, very technical work being done that's looking to push the edges. But through, you know, through everything we do with analytics and AI, I always tell my team, they're tools to support decision making, right? And those, you know, to use those tools, you need the right raw material, which is the data, right? And in the analytics space, sometimes we can flatter ourselves that, you know, we'll use analytics just to solve those problems automatically. And we can do a lot in that space, but, you know, it fundamentally needs others in the business to be pulling with you to solve these problems, fix them, and actually make sure that you're set up for the future.
From at a high level, what can we promise the senior management of organizations that analytics will deliver for them? Can it make them more competitive? Can it make them more revenue? Can it fundamentally change their business? Can it make them more efficient? I mean, what are the realistic goals and targets that organizations can set for themselves with analytics? I often worry that we may be, we're not really articulating what we can actually deliver on behalf of an organization?
So that's a very good question, because over the last couple of months, I sort of utilized my own experience. I looked at everything I've done. I did a bit of research and I said, you know what? I need to pull together a value of analytics framework, which I've done over the last while. And that is really going back to almost first principles and saying, how do we measure the contribution of analytics? Because in many organizations, it's kind of assumed we do analytics, but can you actually say what has that contributed to the bottom line? So I went back a little bit to first principles there and built out a framework that says, well, look, here's an approach of how you go about measuring that value. But I think we're gone almost past that promise of analytics piece, because now I think we're going to be struggling with a new slant around analytics is maybe the best way to put it. So what I said maybe at the start around the trust in the data right now, I'd say there's a lack of trust in the analytics, right? And this is simply because we're in the middle of a COVID where, you know, the year before's behavior is no great predictor of what this year's behavior is. And, you know, if I take what's happened over the last year or so, you know, I can't necessarily run that forward into next year because we're assuming the vaccines and everything else is going to change again. So how our behavior is going to change? How is industry going to change? I have a strong view on that side, and that looking inside your own four walls to try and diagnose what's going to happen in the future is just fundamentally blinding yourself in one eye, essentially. Yeah. And that there's going to be a huge demand, or will be a huge demand, maybe when people start to look at it, around the use of what I'm calling external signals, and we've created a platform which we call a signals repository that captures a lot of this available external information, including some open source information, as you might expect, around population dynamics or where the planning permissions are across the country, and so where, you know, population of the future is going to be, mobility information from traffic and other areas. Let's look at rental prices in particular areas and the volume that's available. All of this is going to tell you about the changing dynamic of basically the customer base or the citizen base. You start marrying that together with your own internal data, then now that's going to be the next step to try and understand how should I react or act in this new world. It'll be interesting times.
No, it's extraordinary because, as you say, we're tearing up the rule book to a certain extent. And things are not behaving as we would have thought they would. For example, yep. As we were saying earlier before we started this session, we were having a conversation in preparation, and we were talking about retail standing up well and not really seeing a dip despite the fact the shops are closed. I mean, who would ever have imagined that was possible, or that house prices have continued to rise in a global pandemic in Dublin, which is extraordinary. And it seems to go against any common sense that you would have, or any sense of the normal way economies work. So I'm assuming that we're going to have to tear up a lot of the models that we had and relook at them, and it's those that manage to respond to these new dynamics quickly enough are the ones that are going to survive and thrive, and those that don't are gone.
And I think it's actually going to give rise to a variant of analytics that's, you know, with my background, I come from maths and statistics background, so it comes under my past, I suppose, academic and early working experience, but really all around simulation and scenario analysis and what if, right? Because if we're saying that, you know, the data that we're generating now or the behaviors that we see now are not necessarily going to be the behaviors in the future, well, then that calls into question, you know, the analytics, or at least over this transition phase. So actually what you're going to need is much more of the analytics plus the human capability, and actually start to go, well, okay, here's what I know, and here are the bounds of what I know. And now should I start to simulate some various scenarios and see what may or may not work? And because I expect there to be a demand in that space as people start to look up and kind of go, you know what, I can't use this last year to predict next year. Yeah. So what am I going to do? I don't want to revert back to, you know, a seat of the pants or intuition, because, you know, much of the leaders now have been brought up on making decisions using data. So I think there's going to be variations on the types of analytics we'll be doing. That, you know, equally is valid. It's just, you know, these things change. You know, so it's be interesting.
And you see this happening at the top table now in organizations, Kieran. Is analytics part of the senior management thinking in the organizations that you're dealing with? Or is it still a speciality that sits somewhere not feeding in perhaps into the top table, but not central to it, like we say marketing is, or HR is, or finance is?
Yeah, I think the correct answer to that is that it's very different with it depending on the industry.
Right.
So I think, you know, some industries, and I suppose typical would be financial services or telcos, you know, that where essentially the value of data is very well recognized. And whole functions and whole parts of the business are run purely on or the decisions are made on the information in front of you. And there are others then that probably are earlier stages, and, you know, potentially utilities maybe in that space, right? Again, probably generating a lot of data. Now, as we start to roll out, you know, smart grids, smart meters, whether it be, you know, water, gas, electricity, it's entering into an age for, say, utilities where the data is going to be start to become fundamental and absolutely important and central. So I think many of these organizations are in tandem working out, well, and how does this now fit in? How do I start to fit in data and analysis into my organization, my culture? How do I enable my workforce? Right? So they're operating in very different environment, but probably struggling with the same questions that some of the more mature industries, let's say, have looked to solve. I'm not saying they've solved it, but they've looked to solve certainly over the past decade or so.
I'm aware that a lot of people listening to this will be maybe young professionals, either starting out in their career in analytics or maybe perhaps, you know, a few years in. What would be your advice to them, Kieran, in terms of the development of their careers? What areas should they be focusing on? What do you look for when you're hiring people? You know, I'm sure there's a lot out there that would love to work with an organization like a KPMG. How do they get themselves to that level? And what's interesting for you in terms of those individuals?
I have one major gate that you have to pass through before we have any discussion further, and that is I need to get a sense of a problem-solving mindset.
Right. Do they have to be mathematical, Kieran? Do they have to be very...
Not necessarily. So I've, you know, you probably think typical around mathematical, statistical engineers, but, you know, I've employed everyone from zoologists, meteorologists. It's more. It goes back to what I said about, you know, analytics and AI as tools, right? If you think of them in that way, well, then when you're actually trying to solve a problem, you're saying, well, what tools do I need to use potentially in what order in order to solve the problem? And, you know, the universities do a very good job of almost, let me just take computer science, for example, would do a very good job of teaching you the algorithms and the approaches, but not necessarily be able to say, well, how would I apply this in a very complex situation? I'll just give one off-the-cuff example. One of the last programs I did with a policing organization, I just have to say it that way, right? It's not Ireland, so it's not the guards, but the UK. They asked the question, it says, well, we want to try and tackle the problem of modern day slavery from a policing perspective. So, you know, there isn't the modern day slavery algorithm you take off Google or Azure and say, can I just plug it in and go? You really have to try and think about all sort of the capability, you know, all the data and all the capabilities and the approaches you might try and pull all of that together and then trace a path, at least a logical conceptual path in your own mind to say, you know, this is how I'd approach it. Does that make sense? Yes. Right. And then, you know, go try it and be willing to take risks. So I think, you know, people that have a good problem solving mindset, they've usually developed that because they also take, you know, they also execute on it. They take some risks and they kind of go, you know what, it's not the safest space to be, right? That you will fail. But you'll also learn. And if you look at it that way, that's I think that for me is the fundamental gaze. Yes, I'm gonna assume, right, that you've got the basic technical skills, right? I think everyone should be able to, you know, everyone should be able to build their own reports, dashboards, visualization capability. Everyone should be able to build forecasting models and classification models. So there's an element of modeling and an element of data use that I'm just going to take as read. But then there are specialities which I'm building up as well on content analytics, right? Making sense out of documents, making sense out of images, and network analytics, because I see the world as everything's connected to everything else. Through your transactions, through your phone calls, through your apps on your phone, through social media, everything is connected, right? And that network approach rather than the database where you flatten everything out approach, you keep all that flavor connections. There are two major specialities I'm going to see in the future. If you want to get into something, I would absolutely say network analytics and what I call content analytics that focuses on unstructured data, you know, NLP, computer vision, all of that. That's going to be the next wave.
Some fantastic stuff going on. I mean, we had a session recently on focused primarily on computer vision, and it's just it's amazing stuff that's happening out there. Right. Looking ahead, Kieran, and I suppose finally, and to wrap up, 12 months or 18 months ago, you started with KPMG and started to build out your team or whatever, and you weren't to know how things, the dynamics of the world are going to change so much. Mm-hmm. Looking forward 12 months, where do you think we'll be at, both in terms of, you know, the work environment and how analytics will be and how the world will be for us? Not in a global sense, but in terms of our work environments, what's the world going to be like in 12 months' time, do you think?
I think the data and analytics people, like myself and probably many of the audience here, are probably one of the few cohorts that are going to be relatively uniquely positioned to really work from home, or certainly in a hybrid environment. Yeah. Because essentially we're all working on network computers or potentially working with cloud, but basically we're working primarily with our laptops, and location becomes less important. Now I do think that there will necessarily be time in the office because I think maybe less so for people, maybe my age, my experience, but to be in there to actually help and educate the ones that we're just talking about coming in, the mentoring piece. So, you know, I mentioned, obviously we have issues, or there can be issues around people working from home and they've joined a company and never met their wider peer group, right? One of the greatest places to learn is just working side by side with other people.
Sure.
So we'll certainly need a hybrid working environment. More focus, I think, probably on the junior folks to basically upskill them and help accelerate them. So I think that's where we'll be. And analytics has now shown or proven that it can be done remotely. And it's not just in consulting organizations, it's kind of around the all the industries, right? And of course, at the start of the pandemic, when people started to push to work from home, their the leaders in organizations were sort of then rushing to go, well, you know, bring me the data so that I can start to make decisions, right? And in some cases, this was even as simple as, you know, do we know where all our staff live and work and how they travel to work? You know, some of the things that might be simple like that. But I think the value of data has certainly moved to that central stage, as I was saying.
Yeah.
And I think that will mean, you know, we'll get through this because everyone got through this maybe with a bit of sticky tape and plaster. But we're going to need to be more resilient in the future. And that resiliency will be built around the sort of the data and knowledge and understanding of what goes on both internally and externally.
Yeah. Well, I hope there is that mix because, you know, heading up what's primarily a network organization or community organization, it's just shown me the value of getting people together as well. You know, I miss it dearly, having people together. So I hope there's that healthy mix of being able to work from home and being part of a community and getting into the offices sometimes as well. So very interesting. Ciarán, listen, thank you very much. It was a great chat. I wish you every success in your continued success in your role and as you grow out your operation both in Belfast and in Dublin. I look forward to talking to you in 12 months' time and where we would say, oh, we didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah.
It happens. We've got used to constant change now and the and speed of change or whatever. That's one good thing, isn't it? It's allowed us to kind of cope with change quickly and just get on with it.
Yeah, I think it probably, I know it's freeing on a lot of people. I do know that. But actually, I think what we've shown also is a great level of resilience.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, it's been over a year now and we're probably all a bit beaten down, but we're not on our knees yet. So
it's
great.
It's great. Thank you, Ciarán. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Lauren. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from other data leaders, please subscribe below.